Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, this is going to be a good one. We've got a full house.
Yes, we do. First up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Chief Revenue Officer with Liaison Technologies, Mr. Rob Consoli. How are you, man?
I'm doing very well. Excited to be here today.
Now, Rob, can you share a little bit about Liaison? What are you guys doing for folks?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. Just as the name implies, Liaison, we help companies move their data seamlessly in and out of their organization. We do that today for over 7,000 companies in 46 different countries.
And then, so what does that mean exactly?
Well, specifically, companies need to exchange information with other organizations. Let's say you're a retailer and you need to exchange information with your manufacturers and your supply chain. We help streamline that data movement to make sure that those orders get placed and you as a consumer get your product on time.
Now, do you typically focus on kind of the back of the house, like the behind the scenes stuff, or is it the front of the house where it's the consumer that's interacting?
We actually do both. You know, today in the retail market, there's something called omnichannel, mm-hmm. which is providing you the right product at the right time and exactly the way that you want to receive it. And there's a lot of data analysis that has to happen in order for that to take place. And so that's what Liaison Technologies does. We have a cloud-based platform called Liaison Alloy that allows us to take data from a number of different data sets, including social media and consumer profiles and so forth. We aggregate that data and we provide new business insight to those retailers so that they can target you as a consumer, as an example.
Now, are you offering a technology that is kind of news to your customer, or are you kind of educating them along the way, or is this something that they already have a vendor and they're just kind of choosing between vendors?
Certainly new in the sense that today there's a lot of disruption that's taking place in information technology. There's a lot more data sources. There's a lot more complexity associated with data movement. And so we provide a cloud-based platform to do all the heavy lifting, if you will, to extract that data, harmonize it, and send it out where it needs to go. So it is, in essence, a new offering for these. And we're doing a lot of education today.
Now, is your customer typically the online retailer or the brick and mortar retailer?
They can be all of those. We're actually industry agnostic, if you will. We're doing a lot in the healthcare and life sciences market as well. You can imagine there's a lot of data movement that has to take place there in order for medical billing procedures, for getting patient information to doctors and so forth. And so again, it's the same kind of business case. We're helping streamline that data flow.
But in the case of like healthcare as opposed to retail, I mean, it could be life or death information in exchange.
Exactly. In fact, for one large pharmaceutical company, we're aggregating all the data for their clinical trials that they do, over 100 clinical trials. And because of our platform, we've been able to cut the life cycle of that data down by half. So, you know, they're able to determine interactions that are happening out in the field and make real-time updates to the information they're providing to their providers.
Now, can you share any examples where a customer has been able to take this new influx of data or maybe the new analysis capabilities of the data and they've been able to make kind of a substantial change in their business or growth in their business?
They have. There's a large bottler here, of course, a refreshment company that's based here in Atlanta. We've been able to help them take a multi-million dollar problem, hundreds of millions of dollars of lost data and so forth. We've been able to help them aggregate that and to collect some of that revenue they otherwise would have lost.
So what's your favorite part of the job? What do you like the most?
Gosh, I have to say the favorite part of my job, frankly, is just mentoring. I enjoy the people that we work with here. Atlanta's a great place. It's a home to us. We've been here for 16 years. We hire some of the best and brightest people from schools like Georgia Tech and Georgia State and others. And my role is Chief Revenue Officer for Sales and Marketing. I have a great opportunity to mentor that next generation. And so that's probably the most exciting aspect of my job.
So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work? Because I would think it would be a little bit challenging. You don't just pick up the phone and call that bottler and say, you know, I've got an idea.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, sales is obviously very difficult. I'm an aerospace engineer by degree. I went into sales.
So that's illogical.
that's the
career path of most of your people,
yes,
right?
Exactly. And so I just look for those kinds of people. No, it's not a typical career path. But, you know, in our industry, having a strong technical understanding of what's taking place and what disruptors are happening in information technology gives us a competitive advantage. And so I can walk into companies and with my team and so forth, and we can look for those business problems and help them solve those very quickly.
Now, when you're mentoring your people, how does that process work? Is it hands-on? Are you kind of following them around?
You know, you're going to hear a little bit later, it sounds like, about some great leadership principles with some of the other people that are participating on this program this morning, but it is all about leadership. So it's hiring the best and the brightest and those people that really want to kind of pay it forward, if you will, in terms of investing in that next generation. So
what's something, if somebody was interviewing with you, what are some things that, okay, that's a good thing, that's a bad thing, that's a disqualifying thing? Yeah. What are some of those qualities for you?
I think, you know, first and foremost, it's putting others first, right? Whether it's a mm-hmm. business transaction, a sales opportunity, and so forth. If we're putting our own needs as a sales rep ahead of what our customer needs are, that's a recipe for failure. So we really look to try to help that person in that organization do their job better, look good in the organization, be successful. And if we get that priority right, the rest follows.
So cybersecurity, is this a major topic on your mind and everyone else's in your shop?
That's a great question. You know, when you talk about the cloud, that's one of the inhibitors to the cloud is, hey, how are you going to protect our data? We made one of 11 acquisitions that we've made in our history. It was another local Atlanta-based company called New Bridges. And we acquired their tokenization capability. So we're able to securely store that data in the cloud and ensure that no one can get access to it. So cybersecurity is a key issue today.
Now, isn't that one of the biggest challenges for a company like yours, where the consumers are used to this instant information flow, and then instant, you know, there's pros and cons of instant. You want it fast, but you also want it secure. And so you got to, behind the scenes, be able to make sure that's the right person that wants the stuff, and you got to kind of vet them.
We do.
Within milliseconds.
Exactly, within milliseconds, and you're using my terminology here, so good. The fact of the matter is, we 3 years ago embarked on a $50 million investment in our next generation technology, so we're using a big data platform, and I could bore you to death with some of the other technical capabilities and features like microservices, etc., but a very modern architecture, the same architecture that Netflix uses today to deliver their capability, or Tesla uses to collect the gigabytes of data they're collecting on their cars in real time and so forth. We're using that today as our platform and servicing our customers.
Now, how is it, like, is the chip technology on the credit cards impacting your business?
Not directly, but certainly just better security across the board. But we're using a very similar technology, if you will, in tokenization. It's using a token to secure that data.
Can you explain to me, because going from swiping to chip, and it seems like chip takes a lot longer. Can you explain why that's better?
That is one of the disadvantages. It does take longer for that transaction time to take place. I mean, that's not an industry that I'm in particularly, but I expect to see some performance improvements there. But at the end of the day, it's protecting retailers and protecting us as consumers.
But can you share what is happening that's protecting us in the different way of doing that?
It's another dramatically higher level of security than just the swipe on the back of the card. First and foremost, on the card that you have with just a magnetic strip, that can be easily replicated. Mm-hmm. Your card with that chip inside of it cannot be replicated.
Okay, so that's the difference. That's a big difference.
That's right.
You don't have the clearance to get the full answer.
Obviously not. Now, recently you guys got an Entrepreneur 360 Award. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really exciting. In fact, we've won 9 different awards on our Liaison Alloy platform this year.
So congratulations.
Pretty exciting, you know, our next generation platform. But specifically for 360 Entrepreneur, as the name implies, it's a 360-degree view, and it's really identifying those organizations that have that full perspective and can thrive. And we were very proudly ranked number 8 out of 360 customer companies. So we're pretty excited about that.
So now, how did you choose to go for that award, or were you nominated for that award?
Yeah, we were nominated for that award by our PR agency, and you know, we filled out all the paperwork and provided lots of volumes of information, customer references and the like to attain that ranking. Again, very, very exciting for us.
So what's next for you personally?
Personally for me, I mean, I just want to continue to see Liaison be successful. I'm very blessed to be here. I've been here for 6 years. I work for a fantastic CEO by the name of Robert Renner. And we've got a great vision, and we're excited about where we are in terms of our leadership and what we've been able to accomplish. Most of the leading analysts in the market, Gartner, Forrester, and others, have got a very high ranking of Liaison. We just want to help other companies be successful, and we're an exciting time and place right now.
Now, you mentioned that you're here in Atlanta for a while. How have you seen the Atlanta technology scene change over the years?
Gosh, it's been fantastic. I moved here in 1994, and so I've been in sales and sales related activities and so forth in high tech. And then, you know, we've become the Silicon Valley of the East Coast, if you will. We've got a great education system here. We're able to draw in some fantastic talent. And, you know, it's been great to see other companies like Liaison continue to grow here in the Atlanta area. Very excited to be here.
Now, you mentioned relationships with the universities. Do you have relationships with some of the incubators and accelerators around
town? We do. In fact, Dr. John Duke, who's one of our board members, is part of the incubator system there at Georgia Tech, and we're excited to be able to continue to leverage our relationships that we have there with the university.
So how do you leverage relationships with incubators and accelerators?
Well, we first and foremost, we continue to interview on campus and continue to draw talent, but specifically, we continue to work with the other emerging companies that are over there too to share insight and innovation that we're leveraging and leveraging, frankly, some of that innovation as part of our platform.
So we're going to visit with an author here in a little bit. What are you reading these days that you might recommend to other people in the business world, something that's inspiring you and informing your decisions?
You know, there's a lot of great books out there. I mean, I come back to Good to Great and some of the books that have been out for a while. Those leadership characteristics continue to impress upon Liaison. Good to Great is a book that we've continued to kind of baseline and continue to train our organization on in terms of that next generation. So we're also changing some of our sales approaches and strategy, you know, with disruptive sale and disruptive selling, you know, try and challenge your sale and some of the other things. We're trying to stay very current there in terms of what the marketplace. Bottom line is buyers today are much more educated than they have been in the past, right?
Yeah.
With the internet. And so we continue to need to evolve. But there's some great principles in Good to Great and books like that from Jim Collins and others that to continue to influence our business.
Now, when you're going through the sales process and you mentioned education is an important component, I would imagine, especially the larger companies are using some service right now. So they're having to be educated on yours and then make a change of some sort. How do you help them with the change management component of once you kind of pique their interest and they're interested in exploring? Do you do a pilot, beta test? How do you kind of get your foot in the door?
Well, we can do all of those things, but first and foremost, really just giving them a path forward. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of investment in 20 and 15 and 10-year-old technology today that's not going to make it for the duration. So that's a big part of our target market is going after those companies that have not upgraded and modernized their technology. They haven't moved to the cloud. They're continuing to do things in-house. It's estimated that 50% of IT budgets are spent solving the problems that Liaison solves today, mm-hmm. leveraging the cloud. And so we can dramatically...
So just at go almost, you're
exactly.
able to impact. So you're friends with the CFO, kind of likes the
Yes, the
technology.
CFO is a big fan of Liaison. That's right.
Is that a path into the company? Is it through the CFO?
It can be there. It can be through the board of directors and often, frankly, through the business side of the organization as well. It's not just information technology. In fact, they can sometimes be against us, right? Because they fear losing jobs and so forth.
Right.
But the way we position that is they can redirect those resources to more innovation. And that's really where companies need to be. That IT organization needs to innovate, not work on the low-level plumbing stuff that Liaison can do for them.
So what's the pain that they're having where the person should think, hey, you know what? Maybe we ought to call Liaison.
The pain is they're not able to get data movement in and out of their organization in a streamlined way. They're spending time performing manual integrations to disparate applications in their organization to move that data. And so we can help them leveraging our cloud platform.
So that's a symptom if somebody's doing a lot of kind of one-off manual.
Exactly. Yes.
So, and if everything's in a box in Susie's closet, right?
Right.
That's not a good sign, right?
No. You got frustrated customers, you've got frustrated supply chain, then that's usually a sign that we can help them out.
And then who is the person that normally calls you?
Most of the time, it's going to be CIO level, IT related, maybe the architects or data architects in an organization.
The ones who first see that this is happening too often, that there's a better way.
And also the business side, right? Because they're not getting... their needs done, client relations, customer relations, supply chain, et cetera.
But I think if I were in charge of the change management effort, I spent a little time in that world a couple lifetimes ago or neck deep in some M&A activity. I think an organization with your skill set, I think I would want you guys on the team.
I'm signing you up right now.
But no, that would be critical, really, if you're going to manage effectively that M&A process. What you guys do is critical.
You're exactly right. M&A requires that they've got disparate systems, as you said, that need to be integrated and streamlined, and we can help them do that. that's a big part of our target market. You're exactly right.
All right.
Now, is for 2017, are you looking for more acquisitions? What's your growth plan for 2017?
Yeah, we have a goal of 20% organic growth. In fact, we've had 41% compound annual growth rate for the last 8 years, which is pretty exciting.
And that's all you, right? You're the revenue.
I'd love to say it's all me, but it's not. It's a great...
Wait, look, is it a coincidence? You connect the dots there.
I hope my mother's listening to this right now.
All right. Where can our listeners go to learn more about you and your great success?
Yes, great.
But also about your organization.
Liaison.com. LIAISON. Most people forget that second I. But also
get you every time.
Hashtag Liaison Tech. And we're on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social media channels.
Well, Rob, it's been a real pleasure having you in the studio this morning. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you very much for having me. Enjoyed it.
All right. Can you hang with us while we visit with our other guests?
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us Miss Rhea Story. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing well. What'd you learn in that last segment?
You know, what I really liked about what Rob had to say was how important leadership was to them as an organization. And he really talked about, you know, their growth has been phenomenal over the past 8 years. But I know behind the scenes that leadership has to be there in order to sustain and maintain that growth at those levels and keep growing the company, keep growing the organization, keep growing the people. So it's always interesting to see a company that has success because you know behind the scenes there's some strong leadership there.
Now, can you share a little bit about your leadership speaking?
Sure. Both my husband and I, Max Story, and I both full-time, we speak and teach on leadership principles. We go in organizations like one of the local Chick-fil-A's as a client. We go in and we help develop their team in terms of leadership. So we do on-site leadership training. We do speaking at conferences and events, seminars. In fact, we've got a seminar coming up in January on communication and leadership as well, close to Atlanta. So that's going to be January 27th. So we're looking forward to that.
Now, how important is communication in the in leadership?
It's critical. You know, I talk about in the book, I really talk about that.
In the book, Straight Talk?
In the book, Straight Talk. I've just recently released this. The power of effective communication, because communication is one of the most critical skills for personal and professional success, particularly in leadership roles. The ability to communicate the message effectively is going to determine your success as a leader in an organization, or even at home with your kids, with your spouse, with your family, if perhaps more important on the personal level.
Now, I know in our organization, we have a small company and we're growing and we're always amazed that we think we're being clear and there's clarity, but it, how many times is it?
Yeah, sometimes Ryan doesn't get it.
Do you see that? Is that an unusual thing? Is there some...
No, that's pretty common. In fact, there's a quote that we talk about a lot that says one of the most common communication problems is the illusion that communication has actually taken place. Mm-hmm. So often we are so used to communication being one way. We transmit a message and we think it's received. And if we're not able to connect with that person, we're not necessarily communicating clearly. So even in a small setting, it can be a challenge. Absolutely.
So what are some tips or tactics to keep from deceiving yourself and at least be aware, at least know that you haven't communicated well?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things we talk about is that the ability to connect with someone is going to multiply that communication skill. So connecting with someone first and start building that relationship so that you know if you're connecting and communicating with that person. So it starts at the relationship level first. You know, one of the best tools to open that dialogue and make sure that you're communicating effectively is listening as well. You know, communication, once you deliver something, listen back to the other person. Did they receive the message? And then listen to them. Some of the times I think that's where we fall down on our communication skills the easiest or the quickest, if you want to say that, because there's so much information coming at us from so many different places. It's so easy to filter off and start thinking about how you want to respond to that person. So when they're talking, you start to think about your next comment or what you're going to say next, and you stop listening to them completely.
Yeah, you're not listening. You're waiting, right?
Because you have something really good to say.
Just looking for that spot. Right? We probably never do that.
Never. Well, Rob mentioned the term omni-channel for his business earlier. How do young people today, they have their phone, they're on a tablet, their computer, they're processing data from, you know, multiple channels simultaneously, but somehow they seem to be able to kind of stay on top of that. Is that an illusion?
You know, I think there's a study done that says that on average, we are exposed to over 35,000 messages a day. Now, if you think about that, that's messages driving down the road. You know, you see how many car tags do you read, vanity plates, how many signs do you see, how many cell phone messages and Facebook and LinkedIn notifications pop up, radio, TV. There's so many messages filtering in. And social media has just multiplied that exponentially because we're able to be connected to so many more people. What I think has happened is that our younger generation has picked up on the ability to stay connected via social media, but they're losing some of our interpersonal connection skills and communication skills. You know, it's interesting, if you walk down the street, half of the people you see may be looking at a cell phone instead
of connecting.
Right,
or have headphones on.
So if they're connected to that social media, they might be connected on one level, but it is almost an illusion because it's not a true connection. It's plugged in, but not really connecting with another person. Not at the same level, not the emotional connection that you get face to face.
Okay, can we talk about me for a minute?
It's always about you.
It's always about you.
So as some of our listeners know, Thanksgiving, we were up in Dahlonega and we were at the Montaluce Winery. There was family there. My brother-in-law, we all call him Uncle Howie, is just really good at getting everyone around him, including family members, to open up and have genuine conversation. And I've always thought, man, if Howie could just bottle that. And I wondered if you might have some insight into how do you get people, particularly family members or those that are close to us, maybe coworkers, to really open up and have a conversation with you at that level, you know, well beyond, hey, how's it going? Oh, it's fine. How's your wife? You know, that deeper level.
Absolutely. It's one of the chapters I talk about in my book. The power of questions can be an incredible tool as a leader in an organization. It can be even more incredible on a personal level with your family, because an open-ended question is a question that doesn't have a yes or no response. And so it opens up the dialogue. And an example would be, how did you get into something? You asked Rob earlier how he got into the field he's in now. It's an open-ended question. It allows him to speak to that answer and to talk as long as he's comfortable. It allows him to share and, you know, as much information as he wants to. You can take that then and then ask another open-ended question. So the ability to ask those questions effectively is powerful when we talk about building a relationship with someone and keeping that dialogue going. So, you know, I would say in a family setting like that, and you're sitting around the table, be prepared with some questions in advance. You know, think about, well, what's your favorite Thanksgiving memory? What's your favorite Christmas time memory? You know, those are great questions to just get people reminiscing and kind of build that camaraderie around the table. Works the same in an organization. Just those ability to ask some questions of someone and get someone talking and listen to the response. That's huge.
Yeah, don't just use it for, oh, that reminds me of the time.
Very important.
Those are two great questions, though, right there, I think. The memory, I like that a lot.
Now, what about in an organization? Rob mentioned also that he mentors people and hires people. What would be some questions that could help him kind of bubble up to see if these people have the right qualities that would be a good fit in his organization?
Wow, that's a great question. So, you know, when you're interviewing people, I think it's important to ask those questions that reveal the character side of people, because you can teach them to do a job, the competency side of a job. But character makes up, on average, 87% of our success in life. And that was based on a research study from Harvard. So 87% of our success in life, in a job, in an environment, is based on our character. Those are our values, our work ethic, our attitude. You know, it's something you can't train someone on. You can help develop them, but you have to hire that. He even mentioned that, you know, he's looking for those values
right
in the organization. So I think asking some questions that reveal those character traits, those values. Questions like, tell me about an example of a time when you did something great and how that worked out. Or tell me about a time when you did something you're not proud of. And I'd be curious to see what that individual responds. Particularly if you ask about a time when they feel like it was a mistake or something they didn't do great. Are they able to open up with humility and say, hey, I made a mistake, but here's what I learned from it. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful when you talk about opening up the character side of who someone is.
Now, you mentioned talking at Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, I think, does a great job of hiring young teenagers. They can vet their frontline person a lot better than some of the other fast food restaurants. Do you have any kind of share some secret sauce of what they're doing there that helps them identify the right candidates?
You know, we had the opportunity to talk with one of the Chick-fil-A operators a while back, and this particular franchise gets on average 250 applications for every open position.
Wow.
So they're looking at a lot of people. But what was interesting is he said, you know, what I do is I have a test in the interview, and it might be something like dropping a pin to see if that person is the first person to bend down and offer to pick it up, because I'm looking for that servant leadership heart. Mm-hmm. Or that just willingness to do something for the other person, he said, because that's what I want. That's who I want on the team. So, you know, again, I think it comes back to that upper level mm-hmm. leadership, and who we are is who we attract as an organization. So if we're growing and developing our people as an organization, which is one of the things Chick-fil-A does, then we continue to see that upward trend.
So this last book, Straight Talk, was there a chapter or two that came together really much easier than the others, and maybe a chapter or two that you just really had a hard time nailing?
I think the chapter that came together really well was the chapter where I talk about just 8 tips to remember someone's name. Because as Dale Carnegie said, you know, a name is the sweetest sound we'll ever hear in any language. And I meet a lot of people. I talk to a lot of people every day. And I hear so many people who go, oh gosh, that's great to remember someone's name, but I'm not good with names. And I'm thinking, well, me neither. You know, none of us are good at something until we really try to apply. So that chapter was powerful because I was able to share some of the ways that helped me remember names. Not that anyone's perfect at it, certainly not. But, you know, just little tips and things that we can do.
So you got to tell us now some tips.
you got to lay some tips on it.
You know, I wrote a blog on this and I published it on LinkedIn. So it's out there. If anyone's interested, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. The whole chapter is on there. But I'll cover a couple of them. When I meet someone, so for example, I met your next guest who's going to come up in a minute here, Sean, in the lobby. So
that's his name. That was correct.
That was a test. So as I meet Sean, you know, he shook my hand and I repeated his name back. So when you meet someone, listen for their name, repeat it back. If you know you're going to have to repeat it back, you're going to be paying a whole lot more attention, and it'll help you remember it. You know, I try to relate it to someone I know. If I know someone who, Rob, for example, I think, oh, Rob, like my friend Rob. So if I can connect that person, it'll help me remember their name. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's somebody famous, or, you know, maybe it's an unusual name. I ask them to spell it. So little ways like that can help us. And again, just connect better in order to communicate better.
And it just sounds like you're just being mindful, that you're just taking a moment and just kind of just focusing on them intimately for, you know, a matter of seconds, but just enough so it kind of locks it in.
Absolutely. I think it comes back to being intentional right from the very beginning. You know, if we know that we are focused on that person and paying attention, we are more mindful and we will be paying more attention rather than thinking about, well, gosh, did I park in the right what corner of the parking deck did I park in?
Right. Now, can we talk a little bit about how you got into speaking in front of organizations? What was your path into that?
Sure.
Because a lot of people aspire to that.
You know, I was working in healthcare, administrative healthcare. Wasn't even interested in leadership and motivational speaking. I was on a firm path to a career in healthcare and enjoyed it. I was very happy to be there. I'd gone to school to be there. And in 2012, my husband, Mac, went to a leadership conference and he came back. He was excited. He's like, oh, this leadership stuff is great. You've got to go back with me. And I'm like, no, I don't want to.
I've got a job I like.
I like what I'm doing.
Good, right.
But in all honesty, you know, I was working in a large hospital as the compliance director, and, you know, it's kind of like the police of the organization. You have to walk around making sure everyone follows the rules.
Right.
But if you don't have those leadership skills, it's difficult to do very effectively. And when I started studying leadership and being intentional about it, I saw that my ability to lead in the organization increased. Well, it wasn't long before I thought, well, you know, I'm going to I'm taking off in a different direction. I heard Les Brown speak in 2013, and he said, you have a story to tell, and someone needs to hear your story, and only you can help that person. And I think, well, I've got a story, but I don't want to tell my story. And, you know, up until that point, I really had been, most people would probably consider me an introvert. I'm not a natural communicator, a natural connector. And that's where I think when I realized the power of intentionally applying skills like leadership and connection and communication could increase my effectiveness in the organization, at home, it changed my life, certainly. So from that, I started to talk about my story a little bit and my personal story of just overcoming and overcoming adversity, overcoming abuse. And then I thought, well, you know, there's got to be other people like me who aren't natural connectors, natural communicators. So that's why I wrote the book, because I know there are people who want to be better and just need some help, some tips to do that. So from there, once I started speaking and writing, it was a natural transition to step out of the healthcare world and go full time as a speaker and author. And to tell you the truth, it's, you know, I wouldn't go back. There's nothing that could make it go back.
So now you went from a situation where you had a stable job and you were in the loop and you were probably good at it and you're proud of people liked you and all that stuff. And you said, you didn't just incrementally switch. You kind of made a dramatic change.
Dramatic change. I turned in a notice after the first time I spoke on stage. 10 days later, I turned in a notice to my boss and I just said, I can't do it anymore because my heart's not here. Mm-hmm. And I cried, I boohooed, and so did she. But I worked out a good notice with them to ease the transition. But for me, it wasn't an all or nothing because I needed to put all of my time and energy and attention. And I realized that I couldn't do that in fairness to the organization. And at the end of the day, you know, when I want to do something, I want to jump in 100%. So it was a pretty dramatic switch for me. You know, one of the things I do now is I coach other aspiring writers and speakers, and I tell them, you know, yes, I want to help you learn to tell your story, but you need to think about your transition plan. It doesn't look like a cold turkey switch for everyone like it did with me.
So do you recommend a cold turkey switch, or is it different for each individual?
It's different for each individual. You know, I think it's important for that individual to know where they want to go and how fast they want to get there. Mm-hmm. There are other variables to consider. Like, I didn't have small children who, you know, who needed me to have a stable, steady income. So that could be a significant factor if you have little ones at home, depending on you. You may need a slower transition to build up that speaking and writing business first.
So before we wrap, there was a chapter title that really caught my eye. The early bird gets the influence. Can you just speak to that briefly before
Sure.
we wrap?
What I talk about is that, you know, we always remember someone who is the first. So when we're talking about building influence and building leadership or communicating with someone, connecting with someone, be the first. Be the first person to reach out and introduce yourself. Be the first one to say, hey, my name is, and you know, make that connection.
You forgot my name, right?
I did not forget your name, Lee. I wouldn't do that. But you know, I talk about in one of the stories I tell in the book is that a few years ago we were staying in a hotel at a John Maxwell training. We were in Guatemala with John Maxwell and 150 other coaches for a leadership training down there. We trained over 20,000 Guatemalan leaders on leadership principles. So we were there in the hotel now, and I mean, John Maxwell is one of my mentors, but you know, it's not like we're on a first name visiting basis regularly. So I come around the corner of the hotel to get in the elevator to go down, and there's John Maxwell. And I was just so completely unprepared to run into him in the hall, and I had absolutely nothing to say. I mean, I get in the elevator and I said absolutely nothing.
It's like just you two?
Just us two.
Wow.
And to make it even better, he was going down to the pool for his daily swim, and I was just like, I have absolutely nothing to say. And it hit me that was, you know, that was an opportunity. I could have been the first one to open that conversation up, and what a great opportunity to ask some questions, and I missed it.
And he missed it too, though.
Well, fortunately, he's not communication challenged as I was back then. So, you know, he opened up the dialogue and had something to say, asked some good questions, but it was an opportunity missed. It was an opportunity. I could have been the first one to jump in and ask some questions, and I missed it. So I talk about, you know, the early bird is the one that gets the influence. Be the first. Be the first.
I like it. All right. Where can our listeners get their hands on this book, and what's the best way for them to reach out and have a meaningful conversation with you or Mac or somebody on your team?
Sure. So the book is available on our website, topstoryleadership.com. That's T-O-P-S-T-O-R-Y leadership.com. It's also available on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, any of those platforms. Our website is a great way to connect with me, and LinkedIn, very active on LinkedIn. And as I mentioned, I've got several blogs on chapters from the book. So, you know, jump on there if this sounds like it resonates with you. LinkedIn.com/in/Rhea Story. Another great way to reach me. Thank you.
Now, what if a company is considering bringing in a speaker or a leadership coach? What is the pain they're having that you're a good fit to fix?
We talk on a variety of leadership topics. Communication is one of them. It's been a very powerful program to talk about, you know, bringing some of those communication skills, particularly in the workforce. Dealing with change, that's another big one that we see organizations, you know, organizations are always experiencing change. It's a fact. So how do we do that successfully as an organization and effectively? We do frontline leadership development. We do leadership coaching for top level CEOs all the way down to frontline leadership and frontline workforce, and time management, power of effective planning. So we, you know, we offer a variety of leadership topics. All of it's central around leadership, but those are probably our most popular.
And it's all on the website?
It's all on the website. Absolutely.
All right. Well, keep up the good work. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. I'm so excited to hear what Sean has to say here.
Hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. You ready for the headliner, Lee?
Pressure's on Sean.
All right. We have with us location general manager with the Norcross location of CarMax, Mr. Sean Hardy. Man, you look, I saw you taking notes. You were nodding your head during both segments. This had to be, you've gotten something out of this so far, right?
Absolutely. You know, when they were both speaking, it's just, it resonates to us, it, just at CarMax in general, just the things that we do as well. When we talk about just the developing of the associate, having to communicate, those are very vital pieces that we must do as well at CarMax to be successful. So when I think of him speaking about communication, you know, CarMax, what they do so well in is that we place vehicles within our locations to communicate. One-on-ones, where we make sure that we do each and every month with each one of our associates on our teams. We have roundtables where we'll take one particular associate out of each department to communicate needs. What's going on? You know, a restroom paper towel will be created from it that may be needed in the restroom, or a mirror to safety traffic in the back of the in the parking lot. Different things like that when we talk about communication.
I like that roundtable approach. That's powerful.
Absolutely. You know, we have communication meetings where we celebrate what the company is doing every other month. We have food and celebrate the times that we are successful in, and we talk about what we've done, what we have achieved over the last month. So there's a lot of avenues that or vehicles that we use to communicate with our customers and our associates.
Now, that must be working because you guys are voted one of the top places to work kind of on a regular basis. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. We're currently 100 best companies to work for 12 consecutive years.
Wow.
We absolutely are very proud of that. And what makes us really proud of is that our associates, they're the ones who survey us. They're the ones who tell us that that's what we are.
Now, when CarMax came about, they were trying to kind of do car dealerships in a different way.
Absolutely. So back in, I don't know if you remember, but we're a parent company of Circuit City. Circuit City, they started CarMax. What we did was we surveyed their customers and basically said, what would you like to see in car buying? And four elements came out of it. We want to see selection.
That makes sense.
We want to see quality. We want to see great prices. And we want to see great service. We took those four models and it became our pillar. Our pillar today.
All right. So just stay in front of the mic because this is important stuff.
Okay.
Now, you guys are hiring right now, or are you looking for? I know it's...
Absolutely. Absolutely. CarMax, we're growing. We have currently needing 2,500 associates across the country.
How about here in Atlanta?
Atlanta, we're looking at over 200 associates in every department. We're looking for our sales commission associates who most definitely, you know, sky's the limit in making that income. We're looking for inventory associates. Those associates go out and prep our cars for our customers and position them in our lots. We're needing detailers who absolutely get the quality of our vehicles up to standard, as well as technicians. We're looking for a lot of technicians in our area here in Atlanta to help us, of course, complete that 125-point inspection.
So now you're in Norcross. Are there CarMaxes around the city?
Absolutely. There are six locations. Of course, the Norcross location, the South Lake or Stockbridge location. There's the Town Center location, Roswell location, Beaufort location, which is one of our newer locations, and the Lithia Springs location.
Now, do people, when they go to CarMax, like I've used CarMax to sell my car.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that? Because that's kind of unusual, I think, the way you guys do that.
Absolutely. CarMax will buy your car even if you won't buy one from us.
Right.
It's something that we absolutely, we are a leader in and something that we do. We provide that for our customers. And it's been a great addition to our, of course, our model.
Now, can you talk about how it works? Because, I mean, yes, I've gone through it myself, but I think the listeners may not be aware that this is a choice for them.
Yes, absolutely. What you could do, you can come to any of our locations. You could bring your vehicle, no matter what it is. You can push it in. we will absolutely buy the vehicle from you. So what we do takes about 30 minutes. You'll come on in. You will present yourself to one of the associates standing there waiting to greet you. And we will actually have one of our professional buyers who will look at the review of the vehicle. We'll pull up a lot of numbers and things that we do to identify the best number for you. And we present a cash offer in about 30 minutes.
Right. And then you have like 24 hours or something.
You actually have 7 days.
7 days.
7 days.
To accept that or not.
Absolutely. So you can bring your appraisal certificate in to any of our locations, actually. Doesn't have to go back to the location. You can come to any of the six locations in the Atlanta market, bring it in, and within 7 days, and you'll get the cash offer.
And during those 30 minutes, you can walk around the lot and see if something catches your eye.
There you go.
How handy is that?
You want to apply?
But you can get a check in an hour, right?
Absolutely.
You can actually walk in there and walk out with a check.
Yes, sir. Sure you can.
We could drive Ryan's car down there.
That's right. You want to see how that works, Ryan?
Bring it in, Ryan. Absolutely. We'll buy it from you.
So, Sean, what is your backstory? How did you get involved in this business?
Yeah. So, again, I'm from Circuit City. I used to run their locations, their stores there. Of course, our parent company. And after I began to thinking about it, you know what? I see CarMax continue growing. So I decided to come on over to the CarMax side. And I actually came in as a sales manager in 2004. And of course, through our growth potential that we currently have and the development programs that we have, I'm now general manager for one of our largest locations in our company. And of course, and I've been here now 12 years loving it.
So now, how's it different working at a CarMax as opposed to a Circuit City?
Well, you know, there's some similarities, but there's some differences. The differences is simply on how we address our customer. We've learned to listen. We have something we call the Drive What's Possible model, where it's under like four tiers, if you will. And that first model is listening with the intent, really listening to the customer, discovering their needs to find out exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. The other simple one, we want it to be simple and seamless. You know, when they come to a location, all of our associates, they're guides. They will help them find the customer and what their need makes it very simple for them. The other one is we got your back. These are policies that we put in place that Circuit City didn't have. We have a 5-day return policy, 30-day warranty on all of our vehicles, whether you get a warranty from us or not. So these are the type of things that we actually make sure that we do. We equip and empower our customer as well. So as we help them find the vehicle that they want through discovering their needs, we allow them to pick it. All of our commission associates are getting the same, no matter what vehicle the customer buys. So what does that do? That allows us to focus and empower the customer.
So now when a customer comes in, can you walk us through what they would expect if you're considering buying a car, you go to a CarMax, what should your experience be?
Absolutely. When you come into the location, you have one of our wonderful professional sales consultants there waiting to greet you. Not five, not 10, but just one who's there waiting to greet you. They want to begin to just know you. I think you spoke a lot about it. We actually have one of our competencies for our sales consultants called connecting with the customer. Isn't that something?
I like that.
And absolutely. And that's what we begin to do. We want to learn about you. We want to know about your needs. We want to know what you want to do with your vehicle. Do you have another vehicle? Maybe you want to trade in. Those things you're going to get the first thing. Then we're going to interview you about what your needs are. And then once we do that, we're going to identify that vehicle for you. We're going to either go on our computer or state-of-the-art where we can look over 30,000 vehicles nationwide. Or if you're at my location, you can look at 1,200 vehicles on the display lot ready to be purchased. So once we identify a vehicle, we'll take them on a 10-minute test drive. After doing that, we have a quick and easy financing where it takes about 10 minutes to get financed and approved. Good thing about it, you stay with the sales consultant the whole time. You don't need to go to a finance manager or some other type of person in the back anywhere, but you stay with the sales consultant the whole time. After, of course, the finance application, we take you to our business office where all the paperwork then is written and drawn and signed, and you'll have a vehicle out in the display area, or what we call in the prep lanes, with a big yellow bow on it saying thank you. All that's done in about 40 minutes.
Now, is it all pre-owned cars or are there new cars?
All of our locations are currently pre-owned. We do have one in the Maryland area, but as far as the Atlanta area, all of our locations are pre-owned.
Now, what's the benefit of buying a pre-owned car versus a new car?
Oh, gosh, several. One is you can get the favorite luxury vehicle that you may not be able to purchase without it. Where you can save tens and thousands of dollars. Of course, with new vehicles, whether it be a Ford or an Altima, ultimately, when you drive off the lot, you're going to lose about $3,000 to $4,000. Guess what? When you come to CarMax and buy that vehicle that has 5,000 miles on it, you're going to save $4,000 or $5,000. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's what you're benefiting.
Now, do you have cars like luxury cars and fancy cars as well, or is it...
Absolutely. We have all types. We have from your Mercedes S550s to your Porsches to your Range Rovers, all types of luxury vehicles.
I'm pretty sure my 98 Dodge Caravan came from a CarMax as well.
I'm sure it did.
Right? I mean, look, no, you got everything.
Absolutely.
But if
we have it all.
If I'd come to your place and didn't see that Dodge Caravan that my wife told me that I wanted, you might have had it in Jacksonville or some other place, right?
Absolutely. And one thing about it is that it could be just color you want. We can have five of those, but if it's a certain color you want to get for it, we can absolutely have it transferred in our local areas, such as South Carolina, Tennessee, and some of our sister states. It's a free transfer. As you get out to your California areas, there's some transfer fees involved, but absolutely we can get that vehicle for you up within 14 days.
Now, do companies ever hire you for fleet work, or do you do any of that, or is it mostly to consumers?
No, just to consumers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now, if somebody's shopping for a car, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
CarMax.com or come to any of our locations. On CarMax.com, you can simply, there's a couple things you can do now. You can look at your vehicle online, and guess what you can even do? You can start an application without even having an associate involved.
Wow.
So, which is very, very awesome. And we have that avenue. You can even hold a car online. You can just do a lot of your shopping without even an associate being involved. That's one way. But if you're personable, you want to come on in and be engaged with one of our great associates, absolutely. Coming to the location as well.
Now, what if I'm looking for a job?
Oh, thank you for asking. If you're looking for a job, you absolutely can go on to jobs.carmax.com. That's www.jobs.carmax.com.
Now, do I have to have any automotive experience?
No, you do not. We have actually different positions I kind of spoke about a little bit earlier, even into our CarMax Auto Finance division, which is over in Kennesaw, Georgia. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all, but they are a lending institution for our stores. They have analyst positions. They have accounting services positions, administrative positions as well. So please know, come on, we have you.
So that's, what was it, jobs.carmax.com?
Mm-hmm. www.jobs.carmax.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.